Help! I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us on another non-April Fool's episode of Help! I Suck at Dating. You've got your usual suspects in studio today, starting with me, Dean Unglert, Vanessa Grimaldi in studio. Can you guys talk, or am I just going to be talking
about myself? I thought you were introing us.
No, I'm teasing these long breaks.
I like it when Jared does it. He says in the beautiful, and he just like pumps me
up.
Yeah,
I just really get you going, so you're ready to go
like,
for the podcast. And we're
extending my periods of silence so you guys can introduce yourselves.
Well, I just flew in, guys. I don't even know where I am right now or what time it is.
You're on the Almost Famous podcast,
and he's Ashley, and I'm Ben. Okay, it's April Fool's again.
Yeah, all over again. Well, welcome to a new episode of Help I Suck at Dating. The three of us are all in studio, so hopefully the sound quality is a little bit better this week.
We have a special guest who is a little under the weather today, so she's going to call in. But she goes by the name of Gigi Gorgeous. And it's something that we've been campaigning, at least Vanessa and I have been campaigning for a little bit now on this podcast.
What are you talking about? I've been campaigning too.
You have been, but Vanessa and I have been more vocal about campaigning for
it. I want Gigi on the podcast.
Not just Gigi specifically, but it's always good to get different perspectives.
Right.
So Gigi Gorgeous, for those that don't know, is a transgender, essentially a supermodel, it seems like.
Stunning.
Stunning, beautiful woman who...
She's a big part of the LGBTQ community. She is notoriously known for being a transgender from a man to a woman. She's very open and honest about that. So she's going to be on the podcast a little bit later.
She has a new book that she's going to talk about.
Yes, she
does. And if you guys are big on YouTube, she has a big YouTube following. She has a documentary.
Where is she from, I wonder?
You know you want me to say where she's from. So I actually want to ask her, because it does say Montreal, because I did do a little bit of research. I'm like, wait. When she was diving in her documentary, I'm like, that looks like Claude de Robillard, which is right next to my house.
I'm sorry, was that gibberish?
That was French.
Oh, okay.
So
same
I want to ask her if she's actually from Montreal or if she grew up in Toronto. But she's Canadian, and that makes me really happy. And she's stunning and has such an amazing story. So very excited for her to call in.
But before we get to that, that's going to be later on in the episode. Obviously, we're blessed with Vanessa's presence in studio today.
Aww.
Vanessa, why are you in studio?
So we had... Mm-hmm. The wine tour with iHeartRadio.
Where was that?
In Napa Valley.
Very. Dean, where were you?
Oh, not there.
Why weren't you there? You're too cool for school?
I can't travel. You weren't there, Dean.
I overextended
You don't go on
myself.
Field trips?
I came all the way over here.
Just to hang out with me.
Yeah. Two days before.
Did your boyfriend come with you?
No, he didn't.
Why not?
Because he's in, was in Toronto.
Oh. Well, that's okay. And
but verb tenses.
Who was all there? Jared, Ashley, Vanessa, Ben, Wells.
As you said earlier, the usual suspects
the
of iHeartRadio.
The usual suspects.
Blake.
I know Blake. Derek Pith is going to be there.
Yeah, Derek Pith. But Blake, you know, is somebody that we just saw this past weekend, but it's somebody that you should be seeing, just in a couple months,
Jared,
really. Down at a beach in Mexico,
Almost
really.
Paradise.
Great transition, man. Yeah.
I try. Any updates on that?
There's so many rumors about that. And I messaged you. Remember, I got so mad. I'm like, Dean, I tell you everything. Why didn't you tell me you said yes to Paradise?
No. This is what Vanessa does. Vanessa texts me and says, Dean, I tell you everything. I can't believe you didn't tell me this big secret. And that's it. And then it cuts off. And I said, I was like, what did she find out? And then she goes, you're going to Paradise. You didn't tell me. Nothing is confirmed, you guys.
So hold on. So that means you didn't say no. So
I haven't said yes either, though.
He hasn't committed.
He's going. I don't know.
So if you were to go on Paradise, what would you be going on for fun, to gain followers, to find love? What would be your reason?
All the above.
That's kind of why I've yet to give an answer, because I haven't really figured out what I want out of anything.
I think it'd be great for our podcast. Just take one for the
team. Sure. From a business perspective, fantastic. We'll get a couple extra listeners for a couple extra weeks while the season's airing. Totally worth it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, for you guys, it's a zero risk for you guys.
I just really hope that you pull up into Paradise with your van. Drive down there, take a little road trip.
Yeah.
Instead of coming down the stairs, you just pull up right in front of the stairs.
I was thinking about it, of the van. I was actually thinking about this. Like, if I were to go through with Paradise, you guys know that I got my skydiving license. How cool would it be to skydive onto the beach?
Yeah. No, that beach is quite small.
It's pretty small.
That would be such a bachelor move, though.
It would be pretty badass.
Isn't it dangerous to skydive in water as well?
Well, there's just like winds that come off the water over the land that are kind of dangerous. But at that point, I'll have enough jumps to where I'm like comfortable doing that.
No, we don't want that.
But no, nothing's confirmed. I don't know. What do you guys think? Obviously, you guys both want me to do it.
I want you to do it if you're to do it and not end up regretting it? Did you end up regretting the last time? Well, the one time you went on?
The thing that is different this time around is going into every show, I've been in a mindset that I haven't really been in that I am now. Like going into the Bachelorette.
What mindset is that?
Going into the Bachelorette, I was open to new opportunities, not really sure what would come from it. Looking for like to mix up my life and spice up my life a little bit. So that was my mindset going into that. Going into Paradise, the first Bachelor in Paradise, immediately following Bachelorette, I was like in a weird place. You know, I just came off Bachelorette like literally 3 weeks prior. Like financially, I wasn't really comfortable, all that kind of stuff. And I didn't really know what was going to come of all of this. And then going into Bachelor Winter Games, my headspace was all messed up. Obviously, I was still kind of torn up from my Bachelor in Paradise experience. And I figured going into Winter Games might help me get over that. But obviously, that's not the case. And so for the first time out of any of the Bachelor shows, again, if I were to do Bachelor in Paradise, which not confirming nor denying anything right now, it would be the first time where like I'm fully fully comfortable with who I am, not like hung up on anything in the past.
Almost like a fresh start.
Not even a fresh start, but it's like I'm finally like 100% happy. Like financially speaking, I'm good.
Yeah.
Emotionally speaking, I'm good. Mentally speaking, I'm good. Like all of these things. And so it's like for that reason, it would kind of be like, okay, like maybe we can give this a go where like everything is kind of running on all cylinders.
I just want you to go because I feel like so many past contestants that have turned down Paradise look back and say, why the hell did I say no?
Like this one, always like Vanessa?
I don't know if Vanessa turned.
Well, they keep asking me. They asked me again this, one of the producers. Every time I hear from her, I'm like, oh my God, it's been so long. I'm so excited to hear from you. And then it hits. Hey, I'm like, oh, what are you doing? You just want me to know. Yeah. You want to know if I'm single.
Yeah.
And so I was asked again for this season. And of course, it's a compliment because like once I'm, you know, once they stop asking, it's like, well, you're kind of like old news.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
one really wants you anymore. So I'm like, no, I'm happily in a relationship now. You know, I can't predict the future, but I do suppose that I will still be with him come summertime. So I'm like, oh, maybe I can give out a date card.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I mean,
give some dating advice.
Doesn't really seem worth it for them.
Host a podcast on dating.
From the production standpoint, I don't really see why they would.
Because I want a vacation, guys.
Exactly.
Obviously. Makes sense. Hey, put it out there. You never know what's
going to
happen.
The challenging thing, too, is essentially for me if I were to go to Paradise, like I'm a pretty controversial figure, I think, in terms of Bachelor Nation. So it's like that could go either way for me in terms of a girl being like kind of drawn to that or just completely going to block me off.
But those are things that are such outside of your control that you can't say yes or no because of that.
Yeah, I guess. But it's like, sometimes you might not even get a fair shot just because of what you've been labeled from the past.
I think if somebody doesn't give you a fair shot because of how you were labeled in the past, that person's not for you anyway.
That's fair. No,
you wouldn't want to be with that person anyway.
Did you slide into anyone's DMs from last season?
Well, we had Bree on the podcast back in January, February.
Did you guys go on a date?
We like talked a little bit, but
did you hang out outside of talking on social media?
No, not yet.
Not yet. But Kaylin slid into your DMs a long time ago. That's been obviously
stunning.
A few of them have slid into my DMs.
Oh, so more than just the two of them.
Yes, I'm not going to name names, obviously, but it's like,
can you give us a first letter?
Nope,
maybe their initials?
Absolutely not. I got to tease it a little bit, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, okay, sure, I guess it'd be still fun to go to the beach and hang out with people.
I mean, look, Mel B came out of it and she ended up becoming friends with people.
Mel B. I don't know. I also kind of like, as great as the Bachelor franchise has been to me and to all of us, I kind of like want to remove myself from it.
Makes sense.
You know, like I don't want to be known as Dean from The Bachelor. I want to be known as like Dean, the guy that does cool things and travels all over the world.
Like skydives?
Yeah. I don't know. It's just there's a lot of conflicting ideas that like some are encouraging me to do it and some are saying for me not to do it. And again, maybe like I'm probably not even desired to go back from a production standpoint either. Like no one's asked me from the production side of things.
No, he's lying.
Yes,
look at that smirk.
So it's like, who the heck knows?
Dean from The Bachelor. Hey, listen, try being known as Mr. Ashley I.
You're Mr. Iaconetti.
Mr. Iaconetti.
Wait,
well, no, that's weird because that's Ashley's dad's name.
Guys, I still get a congratulations on your engagement 2 years later. Yikes. So
that's kind of depressing. I'm sorry about that.
I know we've talked about this, and I'm sure you and Ashley have talked about it, but when you guys get married, it's going to be Ashley Hybon, but she's still going to go by
I think Kennedy. She's going to, she wants to change her name, but she's definitely going to still go by, I think, Ashley I as her, like,
right.
You know,
but like her driver
name, I don't even know how to say that.
Her driver's license will still say
her government
name. Or I'm sorry, her government
she's
name.
She's
going to
legally change
Ashley
her name at some point.
Hybon. Yeah.
Yeah. But we were talking to Jade about that because Jade actually didn't legally change her name to Tolbert, I think, till like a year afterwards. I think
really?
That's what she said. And so who knows what will happen, but we'll, you know, we'll do that. We'll cross that bridge when we get there.
I've always been very, very pro taking my wife's last name.
Really?
But now
so your kids would have your wife's last name?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So like it'd be like Dean Grimaldi. I've always been pro that. But now it's weird because like similar to Ashley Iaconetti, like Ungler is so unique that I'm the only Dean Ungler on the entire planet. You know what I mean?
Why is that? Why?
There just aren't many Unglers. It's like a very unique last name.
Okay. Yeah.
And so like if say I marry a girl with a very more like a much more common last name, like you kind of lose
like
the
Clark.
Identity a little bit. Like yeah. Not the notoriety, but like the
like Smith.
Like the
right.
individuality.
Right.
You
totally.
Know what I mean? So that's like the only thing that would maybe inhibit me considering that now.
I agree with that as well because I feel bad because Ashley and Lauren are the last two Iaconettis.
Yeah.
So like the Iaconetti name will die.
They
that's
have
so
no
sad.
Brothers. They don't have any brothers.
No.
That's the thing. I have two older brothers. And so they're probably going to have kids at some point. So the Unglert name will live on.
Well, that's nice. That's a nice security blanket to have.
Yeah.
But for me, I think the Haybon name will live on. There's
Haybon. How many times am I going to mispronounce your name? Haybon.
What did
you
Haybon.
Say before?
Haybon.
Haybon.
Haybon. Yeah. Haybon.
Sounds like like a pastry.
Well, another question I have for you, Dean, and Vanessa as well, is that, listen, you might go down to Paradise. Who knows? You might meet somebody. I remember on my season of Paradise, Grant and Lace, they got together, they got matching tattoos of each other. Do you guys remember this at all?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little premature because obviously it didn't work out, unfortunately, and they got the matching tattoos. So I don't know if you just changed that. What are your guys' thoughts about couples getting matching tattoos?
Guys, I'm the cheesiest person ever. So, of course, I'm going to say yes to matching anything. Matching outfits, matching tattoos. I like the idea of
Can we say that there's a big difference between matching outfits and matching tattoos?
No, if I'm seriously going to be with someone for the rest of my life, then why not? I don't have a tattoo, and I would love to get one, and I think it'd be a meaningful thing if my significant other or my husband and I end up getting something that's matchy.
Yeah, I'm not you guys know me. I get a bunch of dumb tattoos all the time, so another tattoo, really. So it's not that it's meaningless to me. It's just that it's not as big of a step for me to get.
And I guess you can always switch it up if it's...
I guess you could change it, but it is kind of permanent. I mean, you can get it removed, but won't there be a scar there? So it's kind of like a, right?
Well, for you guys, because neither of you had tattoos.
No.
Right?
I don't have any tattoos.
Zero. I have like, I think I counted the other day, I have like 19 tattoos. So what's...
You have 19 tattoos?
But they're small.
Well, they're just all kind of all spread. Yeah, they're random. But I'm saying from 19 to 20 tattoos isn't as big of a deal as from 0 to 1 tattoo. You know what I mean? So it's like, sure, I'll get your name tattooed on my butt.
Totally. It makes a difference. If I got a tattoo of Ashley, it would be very significant because it's my first tattoo ever.
Exactly.
Right.
But now that I'm 30, I kind of go back and forth. Do I want to get a tattoo at this point after 30 years old?
I would get it somewhere that you can't visibly see it.
So don't get like the Superman ass on my chest? Is that
definitely
what you're saying?
Not.
Butt cheek.
No, no, go
when
for
in
that.
Doubt, go with the butt cheek.
Left
the
or
butt
right?
Cheek?
Oof.
Well,
I was
no,
thinking
if,
right.
if I wear a bikini on at the beach.
Oh, you, Vanessa. I'm talking
the
to
guy?
Jared. Yeah.
Oh.
I'm never wearing
a
thong
in public.
But wait,
if you're getting
matching
tattoos, it doesn't have to be at the same spot?
No.
Just the same.
I have matching tattoos with some of my best friends. My John Butler Trio tattoo and my HHS tattoo and my Carpe Noctem tattoo.
What was the third one?
Three best friend tattoos.
What's a
One of my best friends in high school got carpe diem on his hip, and me and my other best friend when we were in college were like making fun of him. We're like, Craig's such a loser for getting carpe diem on his hip. What should we get to like make fun of him? And so instead of getting carpe diem, we got carpe noctem on the same spot, which means I'm sure you can surmise what carpe noctem means if you know what carpe diem means.
I don't.
Carpe diem is seize the day. Carpe noctem, of course, would then mean seize the night.
Oh, we're so like, you made fun of him
by sarcastically getting a tattoo on the same location as him.
Genius.
Yep. We definitely won that exchange. 19-year-old Dean is super proud of that one.
Well, if you get matching tattoos, do they have to be in the same spot? So, for example, hypothetically speaking, Dean and Vanessa, you guys end up getting married. Would you get like a tattoo on, like Dean, if you got a tattoo on your forearm and you wanted to get a matching tattoo?
No, I wouldn't get on my forearm.
I don't think it'd be matching, to be honest.
Back,
I think...
ankle, but like, is it matching tattoos if you get the same exact tattoo, but yours is on your ankle and Dean, yours is on your hand?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. I don't know these things.
I would like to be
I
would like it to be exactly at the same spot.
I don't know if I would get I think like it would be cute if I got a star and she got a moon or something like that, you know?
Aww.
Like it wouldn't be exactly matching, but like same
a significant like it would
same ballpark.
Like best friend.
So like Vanessa would have the key and you'd have
the
lock.
Sure.
Oh yeah.
Well, I would have the key and she'd have the lock.
Yeah. Well, whichever one you guys decide on.
No. Oh yeah, I guess I would have the lock.
Like,
right. Yeah, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Hold on. Oh.
everybody's trying to get ready for summer, to feel confident at the beach. I'm definitely trying to do that as well. I've been trying to eat healthier, which is why I want to take a second to talk about OpenFit. OpenFit takes all the complexity out of losing weight and getting fit. It's a brand new, super simple streaming service that allows you to work out from the comfort of your own living room in as little as 10 minutes a day. Everybody's bodies are different, and OpenFit gets that, which is why they personalize your needs with custom-tailored original content with amazing trainers and classes. OpenFit classes are led by some of the most effective and engaging trainers in the entire world. You can sculpt your body with Andrea Rogers, who's the founder of the worldwide sensation Extend Bar. You can get in crazy shape with the trainer who was named by Sports Illustrated as one of the top 50 fittest athletes in the world. Try saying that five times fast. Now, these trainers know how to get you quick results. You can access it anywhere and anytime. You can view it on a computer, web-enabled TV, tablet, smartphone, and Roku. It's very convenient. One of my favorite classes that they offer is 600 seconds with celebrity trainer Devin Wiggins. Really, OpenFit has changed the way that I've been working out lately, and you can use our code DEAN right now and join me with a fitness journey personalized just for you. Again, use our code DEAN, D-E-A-N, and start using OpenFit for your journey to a healthier lifestyle. And right now, during the OpenFit 30-Day Challenge, our listeners can get a 30-day free trial membership to OpenFit where you can lose up to 15 pounds in 30 days when you text DEAN to 303030. You'll get full access to OpenFit, all the workouts. Start working out today, guys. Summer is right around the corner, and you can get this totally free by just texting DEAN, D-E-A-N, to 303030. Check it out today.
How do you guys feel about nicknames for your significant others?
This is the first relationship I'm in, and that I don't call him babe.
I love that.
Yeah, because I find it like everyone calls each other babe,
Babe is the most uninspired nickname of all time.
So he has salt and pepper hair. More salt than pepper, so I call him Salt.
Nice.
Would babe be considered a nickname?
Yeah. Because they're not calling the person by their first name.
Yeah, but I feel like...
Wait, I just realized nickname.
No.
Her ex-fiance his name Nick. Gotcha. Bada bing, bada boom. I just feel like babe is like a term thrown around. I wouldn't consider a nickname. Like, for example, a nickname... Well, what is the definition of a nickname? A nickname is...
Like something endearing.
Yeah. I don't, well.
So what do you call Ashley?
Babe.
Really?
Sometimes I call just like, I don't say pumpkin. Like my dad calls my mom and specifically my sister pumpkin.
That's cute.
Or what does he call her? Oh, he called her one thing. It was so embarrassing one time. She was a teenager. He called her like Schnookums or something like that.
Yeah. And when you're a teenager, you want to be called by your first name and not anything else.
But it was so, I think, like, now that I think back upon it, I'm like, Dad,
I think it's
you're the
cute
best.
When a couple has names that they call each other that only they refer to them as, you know,
yeah.
Something short, something simple, but something like kind of like almost sarcastic in a sense, but cute.
Yeah. Something that has a meaning behind it.
Yeah.
I agree with that one.
Josh had no idea what salt meant when I called him that by, I said salt in a text message, and he actually Googled it to figure out like, what does salt mean?
Oh.
And I'm like, no, it's just a nickname I gave you. Because...
And the movie with Angelina Jolie popped up.
Why? Is that a movie?
Right, with Salt. Or it's called Salt with Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
I need to watch more movies. What nicknames have you given your exes?
I feel weird talking about that because they might hear this and they might be like, you know what I mean?
But it's like it's original names?
Yes.
Yeah, but the problem is, too, I'm sure you guys, so you don't reoccur? You don't use?
Never.
Well, here's the thing. So that's why I think babe is not a nickname. Because
I'll change it up and be like, baby.
It's just a generic blanket term.
It is. It's so generic.
Like the one that you love. I think it's uninspired. It's like, be a little bit more creative than that, you know?
Yeah, but I don't
like
call
what's
Ashley.
Something that makes Ashley Ashley in your eyes?
What makes Ashley Ashley?
In your eyes, yeah.
Her over exaggeration.
So,
yeah, I would call it like Cocoa Puffs or something.
So call her.
You want me to call Ashley Cocoa Puffs?
I do.
I honestly think that's a good suggestion. And we can maybe like derive.
I'm more of like a Captain Crunch guy.
But
you're
Ashley is cuckoo
Crunch.
For Cocoa Puffs.
And she's a
cuckoo. And
yeah,
you're
I'm
Cocoa
for Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah.
No. She's the Cocoa Puffs, and I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Exactly. So call
cuckoo.
Her.
Okay, there you go. So she's Cocoa Puffs, and you're cuckoo for her.
I get it.
We just created a nickname
Boom.
For Ashley and Jared.
You're welcome, Ashley.
So I'm trying to create actually a nickname for Dean right now.
Yeah.
But it's getting hard.
Dean would say.
I Googled nicknames, and there's a name generator website where you can create a nickname for someone.
Hmm.
And so, okay, it's asking for three adjectives that describe him or her. So what are three adjectives that describe Dean?
This is a fun game.
So, handsome?
No, yeah. That's not a...
Yeah.
I'm thinking more like...
You are, though. You're very good-looking.
Okay, okay. I would say...
Like, I hate saying that, but you're just so uniquely good-looking.
Wow.
Got to put it.
Appreciate that.
There you go. I'm so happy that you accepted a compliment.
It's very unexpected,
what
and
about
I really appreciate
natural?
This.
Like, he doesn't... Well, now he's starting to shower with soap and stuff, but he's very, like, earthy. Like
earthy. I like that. Earthy.
Like a mountain man.
Mountain man. So handsome, earthy,
can
and...
Can I get something that's got my personality? I feel like this is very shallow.
He's witty.
Yeah.
Witty?
Witty.
All right. I mean, I guess.
Dude, that's how Post Malone got his name, through one of those
generators. Really?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
No
I swear
way.
To God.
Oh, can we do me after?
All right, here we go. So some... Some nicknames for Deanie. Dusky Dean.
Dusky Dean.
Deadpan Dean.
Deadpan Dean.
Dean the Drool.
Oh.
Dean the Droll, excuse me.
Oh, okay.
Dreamy Dean. Dashing Dean. Dean the Darling. I kind of like that one. Down to Earth Dean. Daring Dean.
D-D-D.
Delightful Dean. And that's kind of it right now. Oh, here we go.
So it's everything that starts with a D?
These are all
initial-based nicknames.
Yeah, why are they all alliterations?
How about D-U?
Yeah, go by DU.
Well,
no, I don't
DU?
Go by DU. I'm sorry, but those are my initials, so of course.
Yeah, but DU kind of sounds cool. DU. Coming, you know?
I used to, funny enough.
Coming to the stage.
Actually, this can actually kind of exemplify who I am as a person. Now, when I was in elementary school, I made people call me DDUU, like double D, double U. And what I said it stood for was Dean Dumb Ugly Unglert. And it's just funny
Dean.
To think about how now I'm still the same self-deprecating
okay,
little piece
on.
Of that I was even when I was 5 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, I'm reading this book called The Happiness Equation, and in one chapter it says, how do you gain confidence and how do you gain respect from other people? Well, one of the reasons why people will, what you feel where people could either look down upon you or make fun of you or whatever is because you allow that window of opportunity because you're self-deprecating.
Totally. Yeah. It's kind of like it's when you, like, it's accepting the love that you think you deserve.
But yeah. here's, let's flip it around real quick. Have you guys ever made fun of me to my face? No. Because I
yes,
make fun,
I have.
Because I make fun of myself
all the time.
But I'm saying if you make fun of yourself enough, then other people aren't going to make fun of you.
No,
you know
that's
what I mean?
Not true.
It's like a defense mechanism.
Exactly. Stop it.
And it's a sign of humbleness, I find.
Yeah, humility.
When it's too much, it's not. When it's too much, it's a lack of self-confidence.
No.
You're trying to overcompensate.
I agree with you to a certain extent. What I can't stand is when people make fun of themselves for things that they know are just not true. For example, if Dean made fun of himself constantly because he said, I just hate my face. I think I'm so ugly.
God, I'd
be like,
him.
Shut up. Exactly. Because he's fishing for compliments
right.
because he knows
right.
he's good looking.
Yeah.
But he's actually self-deprecating about things that he's insecure about, which
right.
I like. Because I've met other guys who are strikingly good looking.
Yeah.
Like, for example, I would never say to myself, God, I hate my jaw. Like, I'm confident
right.
enough to know, hey,
yeah, yeah.
that's like one part
yeah.
of me that I'm confident in.
You're like a Greek
you know?
God.
Yeah. I wouldn't be like, God,
like,
I
yeah,
have this
yeah.
awful, like, just double chin. It's just, no.
See, I get the opposite, though, because I'm a female, and I'm so insecure about my weight. I always think I'm way too skinny. Like, yesterday I was out with my boyfriend, and, well, actually, no, I wasn't, because I was in the wine tour. So last week I was out with my man, and...
A man.
My man.
We were
is
out,
that a nickname?
My man. Nah.
No, right?
No.
I don't think babe
my
is.
Man,
I don't think my man is.
No, because that's like too
you're showing
possessive.
Ownership.
Yeah. So anyways, I was shopping. I'm like, oh my God, every hour I'm like, I have to eat something. I'm getting too hungry because in my head, I come from an Italian background and you have to be a little bit like I'm considered way too skinny in my culture. So when people come up to me and they're like, oh my God, you lost so much weight. I get so insecure, but I can't
That's absurd.
Talk, but I can't talk about it as a female because I get told, what are you guys laughing at?
Nothing.
No, we're listening. Really? He's generating a nickname for you right now. Dean is. And the adjectives that he put in were boobs.
God, I don't even have boobs.
Hot. And what was the third one?
Family.
Family. Okay, great. Well, so what did we generate
Vanessa
for nicknames for Vanessa?
My favorite one is Vanessa the Vajayjay.
Oh.
But I don't like these alliterative nicknames.
I think they're quite fun and punny.
Well, it's not really a pun. It's just an alliteration.
I know.
So the balls?
Anyway,
I like that one.
Anyway, sorry.
They do got balls.
It's very highly,
anyway,
wildly.
Is
it,
that was the best one? Vanessa the... I'm sorry.
Vanessa the balls. Vanessa the vagina.
I like Vanessa the vajayjay.
Yeah.
Vanessa the vajayjay.
Yeah, I'm thinking anyways, that one. So I'm sorry. I don't understand how people think you're too skinny.
Yeah.
You're like the
Whoa.
Perfect weight.
Oh,
thank you. But
yeah, I've just found it just never compliment on a... Never comment on a girl's physique.
Yeah, I actually didn't talk to a friend of mine for about 6 months when he told me, he's like, you're way too skinny. Like, and I was like,
but here's the thing. If I say you're not skinny, then I'm basically saying, oh, you're a little too heavy and you could stand to lose some weight. You know what I mean?
But unless you say that she's the perfect weight.
What happens in society is that we think going up to a female or to anyone really, male or female, and saying, wow, you look good. Did you lose weight? How is that a compliment? Why does that have to be the compliment?
Well, because if somebody was a little bit overweight prior, I think they want to hear, hey.
But we don't know. Maybe that's what society made us believe that we need to give as a compliment. But for me, it's not necessary. It's not a compliment. For a lot of people in my social group, it's not a compliment either.
I think for me, it all depends on the situation. Because if there's somebody who is overweight, actively trying to lose weight, and you notice it, I would definitely compliment them. I would compliment them. Just because I would want them to know that their work that they're putting in is showing dividends.
I just think thin is in, so I'm trying to drop some weight. And I've actually put on a little bit of weight, so if I go to paradise.
Well, you don't look like it.
Thank you so much, Jared. I really appreciate that.
If you have, you hold it well.
If I go to paradise,
and
Vanessa,
you're the perfect weight.
In the best shape of my life.
Thank you.
Jared, you're in great shape as well. We saw the Chippendales routine.
Oh, I am not. All right, perfect. Well, we have Gigi Gorgeous calling in about 7 minutes. So what I want to do in the meantime, before Gigi comes in, is I have that little fun rapid-fire question game that I love playing with Dean and Vanessa because we just love finding out more about our beautiful hosts over here.
This is honestly my favorite thing about this podcast ever.
Perfect. Well, here we go. Hopefully it goes well. This is rapid-fire question, 10 questions with Dean and Vanessa, hosted by me. Here we go. Number one, texting or talking?
Talking.
Texting.
What?
I knew you were going
to
say that.
Wait, I think we had this question before. I think we argued.
Like a different variation.
Yeah. Hate talking on the phone.
Talking in person, connecting, looking into each other's eyes.
I'm a texter.
Yeah.
Because it's just like talking on the phone is such a commitment.
Dean, I feel like you're an extrovert introvert.
Yeah, I recharge when I'm by myself.
I hate
being in public.
Well, that's why you just travel by yourself all the time to God knows where. Number two, what was the last song you downloaded on iTunes?
Ooh, probably a song by Mahalia.
I don't use iTunes, I use Spotify.
Spotify, last song you downloaded on Spotify.
Let me tell you.
Well, on Spotify, I like the happy list, the happy hits.
The happy hits? You're a very positive person, Vanessa. You're always optimistic about things.
Oh, God, no, I'm not.
Really?
No,
I find that you always find the silver lining.
I'm very black and white, so when I'm really happy, I'm like, ah! And then when I'm really sad, let me be depressed. And I can go into a depressive state for like a day or two and like cry, not want to leave my place, and like anxiety kicks in. When I was coming out here, my separation anxiety with my boyfriend was on another level. And I was asking you when I saw you, do you get that with Ashley?
Oh, yeah, all the time. We can talk more about that after Gigi. Absolutely. I'd love to talk more about it. Dean, what was the last song?
It was Waiting For, the Alex Scholes remix.
Very nice. Vanessa, did you answer this?
Yeah, it's like a song by Mahalia. She's from London, England.
The last song I downloaded was from the Us soundtrack, and it was the I Got Five on it, but the Tethered mix.
I Got Five. Did you see Us recently?
Yeah, I saw it, and they play the song in the movie, that like slow, horrific remix. Yeah.
I saw it on Friday. It was good.
It's good. What's going on here?
That was my bad.
Yeah, we can't play songs on the radio.
Do you mind?
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised by Us. I'm a real wuss when it comes to scary movies, and that one, I wasn't really scared, but I was interested the whole time. You know what I mean?
It's a very, it sticks with you. It's certainly a movie that sticks with you. All right, number three, Bachelor question. If you were in a disaster movie right now and you needed to pick one person from Bachelor family to be the star, the one to rescue you, for example, someone who to play the Tom Cruise, The Rock, so on and so forth, man or woman, who would you choose? Has to be from Bachelor.
Taylor.
Nolan? What?
Yeah.
She's like she's so incapable of rescuing you.
No, physically. I'm physically impossible. Yeah, for sure.
Sure.
But
maybe she would want to rescue you more than
maybe
she looks.
Maybe she can be like, I don't know, one of those superheroes that use their
Here's
brain
the question
power.
That I, a sure. follow-up question for that question, Jared, is this person actively trying to rescue me, or do they, like, if they don't like me,
nope, doesn't matter. They just care about humanity, and no matter what they like you or don't like you, they're going to try to save your life.
Probably Chad.
I was going to say Chad, too.
Yeah. You know what?
Maybe
I'll
it's just
Chad
the
too.
Physique.
Yeah.
Because of how strong he looks.
He looks like he would go.
He looks like he would just tear a building down with his two hands to move it out of the way.
But the thing
to
is,
get
he's not very personally invested in me. I think it's pretty well known that both of us don't really like each other. So it's like, if he had to rescue me, would
is
he
it
still?
Now?
True. That's a good question, though, because would he? Because would Chad rescue other people, or would he just bulldozed to save himself.
I changed my mind. Actually, Alex Bordakov would be my choice.
I thought you were going to pick Alex.
I love Alex.
He's got the emotional connection.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, he wants to save my life because we love each other.
Yeah.
And I think he could probably beat Chad up in a fight, too.
Yeah, but see how it's so funny? You guys went straight to physical and I went to mental. I'm like, oh, I know Taylor would protect me like emotionally, mentally, physically. Forget it.
No, that makes sense.
That's why Jared and I would survive, and you would not.
Yeah, my choice is Ben Higgins because I think he would sacrifice himself for me, for all of us, really, because he's just that type of guy. Question number four: who is your first celebrity crush?
Wow, great
Taylor
question.
Sorry, Zach, it's not your brother. Zach Hansen.
Yeah.
That's a, well, you go first.
God, you and Ashley could have some long conversations about
that.
Really?
Yeah, we did.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know why I was so surprised by that.
You go first while I think of mine.
It's a tie. It's between Topanga.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Topanga.
Or the Pink Ranger. No, I forget her name, but she was Suzy Q in the Disney movie.
Great movie.
I want to say like Kimberly Johnson, Kimberly Johansson, something like that.
No idea.
Maybe like Ren from Even Stevens.
Did you see that they're bringing Even Stevens back?
No.
I swear
they're
to God.
They're rebooting so many TV shows.
Unbelievable.
I don't know if Shia LaBeouf's going to be back.
There's no way.
Dude, I had a crush on Ren too, and I got crap for it. I have no idea why. I think she's the cutest thing.
And Lizzie McGuire.
Oh, I love Hillary Duff. Yeah.
Yep.
Was there anybody else besides Taylor Hansen?
Mm.
Or Zach Hansen, excuse me.
I actually had a crush on, and I want to ask Gigi if she knows Alexandre Petit, who was an Olympic diver in Montreal.
Oh.
And now we're friends. And I told him I had a crush on him when I was like 16.
That's pretty cool. Did he know who you were?
And now he didn't know who I was back then. I was just like creeping him, like I was stalking him at the gym.
Would it have been such a surreal moment if you went up to a guy that you had a crush on when you were five and he was like, hey, you're Vanessa from The Bachelor?
It did happen to me.
What happened?
Rick Fox.
You know? Oh, that's right. You've told this story before.
Uh-huh.
Did you mean Kimberly Hart or Amy Jo Johnson?
Amy Jo Johnson.
Who was on Felicity.
Yes.
Can I see her face?
Sure. She's gorgeous. I mean, Ashley's the one woman for me, but this was my first, one of my first crushes.
Yeah.
Oh, disclaimer. Yeah. Let's see.
Oh.
Amy Jo Johnson.
Yeah. She's
very natural. I love that.
Amy Jo Johnson. Absolutely.
She kind of looks like Million Dollar Baby.
There she is from the Pink Ranger
era.
Oh, my
God.
You can see young Jared.
Beauty.
Getting up real close to his TV screen.
Oh, it's bringing me back.
Oh, I was obsessed with the Ninja Turtles. I mean, I know they weren't real, but...
You found the Ninja Turtles attractive?
And Aladdin. Grade one was... Aladdin was my biggest crush. I would sing A Whole New World and try to get a bunch of guys to date me.
Jasmine was a very attractive cartoon. Question number five. Your favorite ice cream flavor?
Vanilla. With chocolate chips.
That explains so much.
Actually, nothing, it doesn't.
Nothing can.
You wouldn't even know it doesn't.
Nothing can encapsulate Vanessa more so than her favorite ice cream flavor, vanilla.
I'm full of surprises.
Maybe with some chocolate chips in there.
No.
If she's feeling frisky.
Risky. Yeah.
They have to be the mini chocolate chips, though.
Mint chocolate chip.
Okay, that's a good one.
Boring.
Just a fun, loving, delicious guy, you know?
Delicious Dean.
I'll go great with a hot summer's day.
Yeah,
throw me in a waffle cone or eat me out of a cup. It doesn't matter. I'm great both ways.
Mine is Häagen-Dazs coffee. I'm a big coffee guy.
Yeah, coffee's good.
Number six, what was the first thing you noticed? What is the first thing that you noticed about the opposite sex?
Eyes.
Smile.
Okay, that was easy.
Well, what about you, Jared?
The first thing, but obviously. No, I would say eyes as well. There's something about the eyes that are very captivating. Number seven, what compliment do you get the most? What do you get complimented on most?
I don't know. You go first.
God.
I knew you were
going to
hate this question. That's why I wanted to ask.
There you go,
I was like, Dean is going to hate this, and I want you to answer it.
My smile, but I don't get it. I just fucking hate my smile.
You have a great smile.
Thanks,
buddy. What's wrong with you?
Just my teeth.
That is not your smile.
I know.
He's smiling like Joaquin Phoenix did in the Joker trailer. Okay?
What's yours, Vanessa?
Smile, too. Yeah.
Smile?
Yeah.
Okay. My jaw. That's what I get.
Great jaw.
You know.
We have Gigi on the phone.
Wonderful.
Gigi.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll save for the last three then, a little bit later.
That sounds fun. I just don't want to keep her waiting.
No. Okay, great. Yeah.
She's got laryngitis. Last thing she wants to be doing is kept on waiting. So here we go. We're going to jump into a phone call with Gigi Gorgeous. Gigi, are you there?
Hi.
How are you?
Hi.
I'm good.
We're so
How
bummed.
Are you guys?
We're doing great. We're so bummed we can't have you in person today.
I'm so sad. I flew in from Montreal. I was like, I can't wait to meet her.
Oh, my God. I'm so sorry.
No, it's okay. We understand you came down with
the
case.
Not Montreal. We're like basically sisters.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Were you born in Montreal and then Grew up in Toronto?
Yeah, I was born in Pointe Claire.
I'm on the East End. I was born in St. Leonard.
Oh, okay. Weird. Small world.
I know.
Just a couple of Canadian gals.
So,
loved it.
I'm such a huge fan. Actually, we're all a huge fan of yours at Help I Suck at Dating. You have a new book that just came out, right, on April 4th, I believe?
Yes.
He said,
no,
she said.
It was the 2nd, so
April
2nd. 2 days ago.
That's amazing. And how's that going? Can you give us a little background on what the book is about?
Yeah. Well, I've always kind of wanted a book. I just never really thought that I'd be able to write one. So when I got the opportunity and YouTube has given me so many of them in my life. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I'm going to write every single thing I've never talked about and share more than I ever have and be just really, really real and honest with it. So it literally is all of the lessons, mistakes, and, you know, stories I have from my life. From ages 25 and down. So it came about kind of quickly, but it did take a long time for me to perfect it. It was probably 2 years that I was working on it. And the reception has been really, really, really great so far. I did a signing in New York City, and some people there had already actually read the book. So I was like actually really shocked that people sped through it that fast. And they had really great things to say. So I'm feeling really proud and excited.
What inspired you to write the book?
I mean, I honestly feel like just visibility and just telling your story is so important. And I've gotten a lot of feedback on like videos and stuff like that, that, you know, I've helped some people realize things about themselves or mm-hmm. help them, their friends in hard situations or whatever. So I feel like me having this on like paper and just having it a tangible thing, mm-hmm. my story, my truth for people just to hold and have forever. I think that stands the test of time, and that's what I wanted to achieve.
Is that terrifying to write that all down and to publish it for everyone in the world to read?
It is. And when I tell you that I went through it like a good 25 times, like front cover to cover, I was like, there better not be one spelling mistake, one fact that's not true, one photo on the wrong page. I was like a stickler, and I had to make sure everything was perfect.
So I guess I want to know, is there a chapter in the book? Because you talk about how your mom passed away and you have such a great relationship with your brothers. And in the documentary as well, your dad was so supportive of you. And you come from an Italian and Lebanese background, which I know how like my Italian family is. And they're very strict when it comes to, you know, just the culture. And it was so amazing and it was so touching to see how your dad supported you throughout everything. Do you go through a little bit more in a chapter in your book with that story?
Yes. Oh my goodness. My family is a big part of it. My family was a big part of the movie, but to talk about the first part of what you said, I have never really truly opened up about my mom, the way that I do in the book. And it was one of the most terrifying things I've ever done, having to relive that. And also having to write it down, really dive deep in what I feel, and just choosing what to say, because for a long time I was completely speechless to the whole thing, you know? So me just picking my words wisely, not leaving anything out, and then just being ready just to be free. And that's what it does. It feels honestly so freeing to have that out there. And I think that she would be really happy with how she's portrayed. I mean, she literally is the world's best mom, and I was so lucky. So I just, I wanted to do her justice. And I just feel great about that chapter. But it's like doing the audiobook, it was not easy. I was mm-hmm. choking up. I had to take breaks. I was crying. It's mm-hmm. like that's probably the hardest one for me in there.
Well, Gigi, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was the passing of your mother that inspired you to transition, right?
Yeah, it was. Well, I had met this girl in New York, and she really helped me decide to transition because it was my first kind of real life and like example of someone who was trans, like right in front of my face. So that was kind of the deciding factor. But my mom was like the one where I was like, okay, you know, you got to live every day like it's your last, and you really have to just live in the moment. And I'm feeling these things inside, so I'm just going to go for it, because clearly I was just shown this humongous change in my life, and I can't take anything for granted. I can't take any minute for granted now, and there's no time like the present.
I have a question. With this being a dating podcast, what is dating like for you? Do you have a significant other? You are engaged.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm engaged. Dating was, it was very, very tricky. You know, I feel like for trans girls, I mean, dating is hard regardless. I'm sure you guys talk about this every single day. But yeah, dating for trans girls is hard. There's a lot of rejection. There's a lot of fear. And there's a lot of insecurity and self-doubt because I think, well, I know for me, I'm a long time, I was trying to be something I totally wasn't, you know? And now that I'm engaged to the love of my life, I can be me. I don't have to hide.
But you guys are a beautiful couple.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I don't have to put on a facade with Nats. Like, I just feel like I can be me and I don't have to be this hyper feminine version of myself and always speak correctly and watch what I say, you know? And like, I've been in relationships before, which is in the book, where they were awful and made me feel less than, and nobody deserves that.
Well, we've all been through relationships like that, so I'm sure we can all relate to that. And I love also on your YouTube channels, you just openly talk about, I mean, at one point you were like taking off your makeup and you were being so vulnerable in front of the camera and you were talking about like self-confidence. And I actually get a lot of questions and people think that I have so much self-confidence, and I'm like, oh yeah, I mean, on some days, on like good days I do, but on other days I'm the most insecure person ever. So how did you build that self-confidence to start this YouTube channel and have millions of followers follow your journey and now have a book and really be vulnerable and open up to all these people?
Well, at the beginning, it was like just definitely a leap of faith. I didn't know what I was doing. I definitely wasn't that confident. And I feel like for the most part, I just faked it until I made it, kind of. And I was a teenager. I didn't really, you know who I was. I was just really experimenting. And I feel the way I stay confident, like you said, was I honestly really just try to look at the positive in every situation. Like going back to dating, I feel like trans girls think, oh, it's so hard because there are not a lot of people out there that want to date a trans girl. And people that do, it might be a little bit of a fetish for them. And that's not what I want. Mm-hmm. But I think the positive side of that could be that the world, everyone else who's like the, you know, a heterosexual person in the world has billions and billions of people to choose from. But these people, but trans people have that ratio lowered for them. Mm-hmm. So the chances of finding the one are that much better.
That's a good way of looking at it. It's a very optimistic view. So for the listeners out there that maybe are struggling with the same thing, what kind of advice would you have for them?
I mean, struggling with finding the one or confidence.
Well, like you said, dating is hard for anyone, but especially, you know, for anyone that's transitioned, it's even more difficult, right? So for someone that's listening that might be struggling with that, what kind of advice would you have for them that you learned? And I'm sure you outline it in your book, of course, but that they might be able to apply right away to like help boost their confidence, help them meet someone, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, I personally, whenever I was looking for something, it never really happened. I was kind of like a fun, romantic girl. It was never really that serious. And then I had one serious relationship. And after that one, I was like, I'm done. I think I'm done for a minute. And then I met Nat. So I would say you got to love yourself first.
Yeah.
You got to not go out there and look for it. It kind of happens when you're least expecting it. I feel like I've heard that so much, but it's so true for me because I had no idea that I was going to fall in love. And yeah, I mean, I feel like transitioning, there's a lot of, it's just a journey, you know? So maybe just love yourself first because that's the most important thing. So cheesy.
No, that's great.
But it's true. How long have you and Nat been together now?
Like 3 years, right?
We have been together for 3 years. We've been engaged for one.
Oh, so do you know when you're going to get married?
We do.
Can you give us a, you don't have to say the exact date, obviously.
Tell us exactly where and when and what time we should
wear. Exactly.
And
if our invitations are in the mail.
Right. No, we're getting married later this year, but we are keeping everything super private for now.
Oh, come on, Gigi.
Well, that's great.
No, you're not going to say come on.
No, come on.
I'll expect my invite privately. You got my email address. You can send it over there.
Okay, perfect.
Gigi, I'm getting married later this year as well. So 2019, a good year to get married. Congratulations
on that.
Thank you. You
what
as well.
Month? Can you say?
August. We've been saying August. We are not saying the date, but in August.
Fun. Yes. Summer wedding.
Yes. Late summer wedding over on the East Coast. So we're very excited.
That's amazing. Congrats.
Thanks. You too. Now, Gigi, I had a quick question because you've been very open about everything in your life, which we all give you a lot of credit here on Help I Suck at Dating. My question is, you were originally dating men, correct?
Yeah.
Before you decided that you were attracted to women. Now, were you dating men after you had the procedure done?
Yes, I was only really dating men, but I talk about this a lot in the book. I feel like it's more of like a social construct that I honestly felt like was just like, I guess like brainwashed into me. I don't know. It's like this weird thing for me because I never really ever, my wildest dream saw myself with a woman, but it just ended up happening that way because I just really stayed authentic with myself and allowed myself to keep growing and like question what I was feeling, which I think is a really healthy thing to do, even though it's like a little bit scary. And it was definitely a hard time for me because I was like, what is happening in my brain? Like, it's like, this is something I never really thought would happen. But that's me. And this is my authentic self. And I'm screaming it loud and proud in this book.
Yeah, you love who you love. And then I'm sure you elaborate more on this in the book, but do you kind of remember when you first started realizing you might have been born the wrong sex?
Yeah, when I was born, I definitely felt that there was something different. I didn't know how to put my finger on it, but I feel like when I was like in my teenage years, I kind of put that aside. I kind of focused on other things. I was a diver. I was on my way to the Olympics. So I was basically an athlete first. And then after I stopped diving, I had like time to think about it and feel differently about it. So that's kind of when I got back into it and started revisiting how I was really feeling, because it was like, okay, these thoughts are still here. They're not going anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty incredible to see your journey and see how you've been able to be your authentic self and really
love yourself first.
Yeah. And be true. Be true to yourself. A lot of people can't say that. And it's sad. And it's inspiring to see someone who's unapologetically themselves and continue to love themselves for who they are.
Gigi, you're going on
tour,
right?
Hell yeah.
Yes. I actually have the LA stop tonight, and then we're going back to New York, which is not good for my cold right now.
No.
But I'm taking vitamin C and powering through with the glam.
Gigi, I don't know what it is, but I have a cold too. I think that there's something going around.
Going around the LA area.
Yeah, I never, ever get sick.
Same.
And it's like hitting me so hard. I'm like, can I just be normal again?
Yeah, Monday it was a very hard struggle to get out of bed Monday morning, but I'm on the tail end.
Oh my
God.
I landed in New York earlier this week and I called an IV into my room because I felt like I was dying.
You got to get that IV in there.
I wish that we had that back home.
I know.
You guys are so lucky.
I need all my nutrients and fluid.
Yeah, Gigi, you're about to go on tour. You need to be ready to go. Gigi, thank you so much for joining us. You can get Gigi Gorgeous's book, He Said, She Said, Lessons, Stories, and Mistakes from My Transgender Journey. You can get that on Amazon, or you can go to gigigorgeousbook.com and purchase it right there. Gigi, anything else you want to talk about for a sec, or where can people find you?
People can find me everywhere across all social media. I'm just Gigi Gorgeous. On everywhere except Twitter, I am the Gigi Gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
Yes, you are.
And I just wanted to say thank you guys for having me.
Thank you so much, and congratulations on all of your success.
Oh, thank you.
We hope you feel better.
Gigi, before you take off, I just need a promise from you that next time we're going to get you in studio instead of over the phone, okay?
Yes, please.
I promise.
All right,
I promise.
Wonderful.
Good
thank
luck
you so
with
much.
The tour.
Feel better.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
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 That was great.
Oh, I'm so sad she wasn't in studio.
She's fascinating.
Yeah.
I really wish she was in studio.
Yeah. I love hearing stories like that.
Well, just her entire life. Mm-hmm. I was looking her up and how she was born a swimmer, an athlete, and then she...
And she was good.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the videos of her diving.
I haven't seen the videos, but I see a picture of her as a boy, and she has many medals around her neck.
Yeah.
And then I saw that she was originally attracted to men, and then... still dating men when she became a transgender woman and then started dating women.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty fascinating. Pretty fascinating. I always get nervous, though, sometimes because I never want to get the vernacular wrong.
The what?
For example, I never want to get the vernacular wrong.
Right.
I never want to mispronounce anything because it's, you know, sensitive time and I want to make sure that I'm being sensitive to everybody. And so for a good example, I wish I asked her on the podcast, but like she said she was attracted to men.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm curious if she was a gay man before and then became a transgender lesbian. I don't know.
Well, it's no, if she becomes a...
Well, if she was attracted to men,
yeah, I see what you're saying.
I don't know. I don't know how you would describe that. I should ask her. I wasn't even thinking, but maybe it's in the book. So check out the book.
Yeah, there you go. Probably one of the chapters of the book.
Got to read the book.
So we went over some of these when you guys weren't in studio, and Michaela from Bachelor Canada came in, and she just moved to Montreal. She's dating someone from Montreal. Very excited to have her in my hometown. But I had posted a picture of Deanie Babies and I.
That's me.
Yeah, remember when we were at the iHeartRadio Podcast Awards?
I remember it like it was yesterday.
I posted a picture of us, and I basically asked people to write in some of their dating questions, and I got so many people sending me DMs, just commenting on the picture. So we went through some of them, but there's so many other great ones that I wanted to go over. So Margie asks, what is the chase, quote unquote, all about? Is it 100% necessary for the guy to go after the girl, or do they really think it's a desperate move if the girl goes for the guy?
Nah.
Vanessa, why don't you answer this first? Being the only girl on the
or
panel?
Or is it more of a confidence thing? I really do think at the beginning stages when you're dating someone, there has to be a little bit of a push and pull for the guy. If it gets
for the girl too,
if I'm like such a hopeless romantic, so if a guy that I know I'm attracted to gives me attention, I'll be like, let's get married tomorrow. But if I do that to the guy, he's gonna be like, you're a psycho, and I don't want to date you. So I think you have to. I'm someone, if I find someone attractive, most of the guys that I have dated, it's because I either slid into their DMs or I approached them in person first.
Right.
So I think guys do like a sense of confidence. I think if you're overly too confident, it might be intimidating for them because, you know, apparently it's supposed to be the guy that goes after the girl. But
well, if anybody's overly confident, it's turnoff.
Yeah.
Because that's cockiness.
Right. Right. But I think guys do like the chase. You're hunters.
Oh, totally.
You want to, you know, go for things that are a little bit... Right. That are a little bit... Dean, no, you don't agree?
No, I agree. I don't know. I have such mixed feelings about this. Because I'm so blasé about basically everything in my life where it's like, yeah, like if we, I don't know, like if you chase me, cool. If I chase you, cool. Either way.
Yeah,
cool.
But I think for now, obviously, we're putting a vague blanket on everybody. But I do think a lot of guys do like the chase. They want what they can't have. I feel like a lot of people feel like that.
Yeah. And then you get it and then you're like, okay. Yeah. I don't know. There's this one quote from a Batman movie. Batman.
I'm already going to love it.
Begins. Joker. What's the one with Christian Bale and Heath Ledger as a Joker?
The Dark Knight.
The Dark Knight, yes. There's a quote that the Joker says. He says, I'm just a dog chasing cars. Yeah. I don't know what I would do if I ever caught one.
Yeah.
And I feel guys are very much the same way. They're just dogs chasing cars.
Exactly. And it's not until they're actually... I was talking to a guy about
cars,
this.
Cars and you guys are dogs?
Okay, yeah, but you guys are like, you know, Bentleys. Is that a nice car?
Well, we're not trying to objectify anyone here, but the point is, it's like...
You guys are like Mercedes-Benz.
We're all seeking something, but once we actually find it, we don't know what to actually do with it.
Yeah.
That's kind of the point of that, you know?
It's like saying people are scared of success, which I agree with. Because it's like once you always want to chase something, but once you actually get it, then you have to hold on to it.
Right.
And that's what becomes the difficult part.
Yeah. I think most of my relationships ended up becoming so empty because the guy ended up getting me. And then he's like, oh, well, now I have her. What do I do with her? Next. Until now the guy that I'm dating is like, wow, I have her and I really don't want to lose her.
Well, that's very sweet.
Yeah. Sarah says, how do I get a guy to want to have a relationship with me and not just a hookup? I think it's something that a lot of women ask themselves. Like how, if we give it up too easily, and not even, I shouldn't even say that, because it's our bodies, so if we want to give it up, on date one, day two, day three, day four, date five, whenever it is,
yeah,
that's
give it
on
up.
Us, right? Well, that's on us. And that's like, because we own our bodies, so we're allowed to do whatever we want with it. But what does a guy think of that if you do end up hooking up with them in the early stages of
a relationship? I don't think it's that big of a deal.
No?
I think that the physical part of a relationship is such a key component that in order to figure out if there's going to be chemistry there early on, it's not a bad thing immediately. I don't think so, you know?
Yeah, but I sex does change the relationship. Mm-hmm. I mean...
For the better.
Yes, but it also does change it. I don't think there's also anything
Here's the thing.
I don't think there's anything wrong with waiting a couple of dates and building on that anticipation and trying to learn about somebody...
You commit physically to them. And I'm not... I fully agree with that as well. But the counterpoint can be made that your future relationship will have two sides, right? It'll have an emotional side and then it'll have the physical side.
Of course.
If you, I don't think it's necessarily the worst thing to explore the physical side early on to ensure that there's going to be longevity in the relationship because you want to be able to both experience the emotional and physical side to its fullest extent.
I think what ends up happening is girls are stuck in the, like, between a rock and a hard place, because if you ask the guy, like, hey, well, are you looking for something serious? The guy's probably going to be like, well, let me just pretend as if I am so that I can keep going on a date with her.
Yeah.
And then she's like, oh, well, I think he says he might want to be into something serious. So let me just hook up with him because, like, ooh, I'm attracted to him. And then once that happens, it's like, oh, well, no, that's not what I wanted. Because I've been in situations like that.
Well, yeah, a lot of guys will say whatever they have to say in order to get into the sack, if you will.
Yeah. So, Sarah, I don't know. That's a tough one.
I mean, honestly, it's just about finding the right guy. You know, that's what it really comes down to.
Yep.
You're going to find guys, like, whether you're a girl trying to date a guy trying to date a girl, a guy trying to date a guy, or a girl trying to date a girl, you're going to find and meet people and go on dates with people that just want to have sex with you or want to date you. You're going to find different people of all different backgrounds who want different things in their life.
And, like, hey, it's all about just finding them. If you want to have sex with you, then that means you're attractive. So that's, like, confidence boost.
Thumbs up. Then it's up to you whether you want to do it or not.
And I think as an individual, you're going to want different things in life, too. There's dates you're going to go on where you're like, okay, I just want to jump this guy's bones. And there's other dates you're going to go on where you're like, okay, I want to actually get to know this guy first.
Of course.
I think it's also dependent on the situation, the time, the person, the other person, all these things. If you're going to have sex, just wear a condom. That's all I say. Hold on.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and
be safe.
Checked. Get checked every 3 months, 6 months. Well, maybe not three.
Every week.
Every 6 months. Absolutely.
Yeah. I agree.
Hold on. I remember last year, Dean, I was sitting you in the room where the red chairs are.
You were sitting what?
I was sitting at...
sitting on him.
No.
Yes.
I was sitting in the room on those red chairs with you, and I said, why is it that I can't find a guy? And you're like, Vanessa, you're just too... you're too intense.
You are intense.
What does that mean?
Well, I was just saying earlier how blasé I am about everything. So for someone like me, that doesn't take anything seriously. You can be kind of intense.
You come off intense because you are very vocal about the things that you want.
That's great.
Opinions.
There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that at all. But it is intimidating for someone like a blasé Dean.
For someone that doesn't know what he wants.
Is it intimidating or is it a turnoff?
It's intimidating. It's not a turnoff.
Oh, Dean? It's a turnoff?
Well, it depends what you mean by turn off. I wasn't physically turned off, but emotionally I was like, I probably couldn't handle her in a relationship if it ever got that to that point. You know what I mean?
Right. So there is a game that women have to play.
Well, and men too.
But here's the thing. You would never have wanted a relationship between you and I to work out because it shouldn't have worked out because obviously it just wouldn't.
It's not a game that you have to play. It's not a game that you have to play, but like.
No, I'm not saying between you and I. I'm just saying,
but
like,
I think women
have to play a game. It's just all about finding the right person yet again, because if you vocalize what you want and you say the things that you want to achieve in life, and then a guy's like, I don't want that, then that's obviously not somebody you want to be with, compared to if you say your opinions and it's somebody and a guy says, hey, those are the things I want as well, then boom, you have some sort of connection that you can move forward with.
Mark? He stood up for this.
I was just enjoying the tension that was building between me and Vanessa.
The sexual tension.
It was very exciting.
It's very palpable.
You got nobody really, you know, you're a lot for Dean, but it seems to me that all women are a lot for Dean.
Hey.
That's what it seems like to me lately.
Come on. I'm right here. No, I mean, Mark's not wrong. Anyways, let's go. Let's move on to the next thing.
All right. There's another writer, and I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing her name right. And I don't know if there's a C missing. Nicole or Nihole?
I'm going to go with Nicole.
I'm going to bet Nicole.
I can't find it now. So Nicole, I think, is married. Let me find it. Oh, yes. I'm married, but I sometimes feel like I'm not enough for my husband. We have two kids together. We both work full time. So the intimate moments are rare. How can I change this? Well, actually, Mark, you're the married man here.
Yeah, and it's a challenge. It really is a difficult thing. Plus, if you have a kid that has anxiety and comes into your room at all hours of the night, it's very it's very difficult to make it work. You just got to be committed to trying to make it work and understanding each of your needs.
Yeah.
How often does this... Because you don't want it... Because a distance is created if too much time passes.
But intimacy, and we had a guest come in once and we were talking about intimacy, doesn't necessarily mean having to have sex.
That's true.
Sitting on each other's lap or like giving each other a hug or cooking for each other. That is a form of intimacy as well, where you can build on the relationship.
That's a great point, because if I can feel it if we go a day and there's no physical contact between us because you're just running all over the place, taking the kids every place. You really start to feel that distance between you. So you just have to make the commitment to both of you, and then you got to make a commitment for a little getaway every once in a while, and that really kind of gets the fires going again.
Yeah. What about couples therapy?
We've never done couples therapy.
No. I'm all for
Mark's
couples
got it all.
Therapy.
Yeah, but I don't... We talk about therapy a lot on this, as we well should, but I also think that there are other avenues besides couple therapy. Like you said, like a getaway that can really spark the fire again is something that's really nice, because intimacy,
well, I mean,
it's a big part
on.
Of the relationship.
I think people think couple, when you think of the word therapy, it's like, there's something wrong with you. There's something that needs to be fixed.
Like a last resort before a divorce
kind
of a thing.
Right, and it shouldn't, and I'm so against, like, I hate when people think like that. If you're going to the gym, you're going to the gym to work your body out. So why not go to a therapist to work your brain out?
Yeah, but there's different moves at the gym that you can do. You could do bench, you could do back, you could do arms. There's different.
You could literally go to your therapist and just talk about how you went grocery shopping today and be like, well, there's nothing really I need to, like.
Yeah, well, totally. $200 an hour to the bank.
I just don't think therapy is mandated. I think it's, if you want to keep, like, continue to grow and you think you guys need it, absolutely. But I also think that, like, there are different methods as well. Therapy is not a last resort, but I also don't think it's like, hey, we should do this weekly. I mean, it depends on whatever you want. Like, if you want to do therapy every week, of course, that's between you and your significant other. But I think my point is, like, I don't want people to think that, like, hey, nothing's wrong, we should go to therapy. It's like, no, you could do other things as well. There's a multitude of things that you can do to help the relationship grow. I don't know. That's just my opinion.
No, I agree. But sometimes people don't know what it is that they should be doing, because they're like, well, I think we've tried everything. How can we get there?
Well, that's different, because then they see couples therapy as a last resort, which, again, it's not.
It's not. And usually when it is a last resort, the relationship is probably going to end. That's what my therapist says.
All right, let's just wrap up these. They're not even questions anymore that I had, but let's wrap this up and then we'll wrap up the podcast. Sound pretty good?
Aww,
all right, moving forward.
I don't want to leave.
Aw, it's all right. I think we don't want you to leave.
Go
either,
back home, Vanessa.
It's no,
all right.
No. Just stay. Stay for an extra week. Record another one. All right. Well, this is more like we talked about a couple weeks ago how we wanted to introduce new dating terms to the podcast to make sure everybody was on the same level playing field. So I have two new ones, and I'd like to know, Dean and Vanessa. Dean, get off your phone.
Sorry,
I'm
I just
working
posted a really
here.
Funny
We're
picture.
Trying to. Everybody's on a phone or computer right now except for me. This is ridiculous.
You're on your computer too.
I'm the only one paying attention
your
here.
Your computer is literally right wide open right now.
I know, but I'm not on it.
You're on your Bluetooth speaker right now with Ashley. What are you saying? Right
that
now?
Is not true.
How dare
Make
you?
Make sure you get the coffee that I like, Ashley. and all right, number eight. So two more terms to know for dating. Do you guys know what love bombing is?
Yeah, we talked about this on the last 2 weeks.
No, we didn't. We did not talk about love
with
bombing.
With the bubbies. It shows how much attention you
All right, so what is it?
Oh, it's when you're like overly...
When you overly express too much infatuation with someone, and then like you pull back, and then you do it again, and you pull back, and you do it again. We had the bubbies on literally 2 weeks ago.
All right, number nine.
Come on, man.
I don't have a good memory. Do you know what fire dooring is? Fire dooring.
Fire?
Like a fire door.
Door. Oh,
fire dooring.
Yeah. Well, I think it's when you get freaked out by someone. You're like,
don't Google it, Dean.
Yeah, don't cheat.
Good God, he's such a cheater.
Vanessa, continue your explanation.
No.
Am I right? Like when you when you get freaked out by someone, you're like, bye, and you like just take the exit door. Like the closest
I think
door?
I think if I were to guess, it's when there is a relationship.
You're
and
such a jerk.
I'm just guessing
cheater.
Here.
Oh,
I'm not even on the thing. I'm in my email.
Google's right open on your computer.
It's if I had a guess, it's probably when there's a relationship and one person is showing a lot more interest in the relationship than the other person.
That's usually
it's
me.
Just a one-way street, essentially.
Yes, it's a person who has all the power. In an exchange, someone who will text you but fail to respond when you text back. Someone you will never make plans to see, but expect them to drop everything and come out when they happen to have an afternoon free.
Sounds like a boy.
Yeah. So it just says, for example, Dean Ungler right on the bottom. That's where I don't know. all right, number 10, last one, because I was listening to Backstreet Boys. What's your favorite boy band of all time?
Hanson Brothers.
No.
Dean, you don't like boy bands? You should have been in one.
Are you Googling boy bands?
No, I was. So I got sent this. This 15 signs you're dating a douchebag list by one of my friends, and I was like on the cover.
Are
of
you
it.
On? What?
No way.
Yeah. So
oh,
I was.
Stop.
We were just talking about how you
what
were.
What was
reading,
the website?
It was on a
you know what
article.
It is, Dean? Because you're so good looking, people probably think you're a douchebag.
No, it was like there's... 10 reasons you're dating a. Wait, I think this was me.
Stupid paradise.
Oh,
a major
it.
douchebag.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Is your picture seriously on that?
It was, I don't know. My friend sent it to me.
You're not a douchebag.
Thank you, guys.
At all. Anyways. That's why you need to go to paradise. Redeem yourself.
So I don't give a crap about a redemption story. At this
I
point
care about life. It. You deserve
Thanks,
better, Dean.
Buddy. Favorite boy band, I guess NSYNC, sure.
No, Backstreet Boy Sorry, guy. Buddy.
Anyways, thank you guys so much for thank you, Vanessa, for being in studio today.
Seriously,
guys,
we need
I
to have
flew
this
in just for this and for the wine tour.
Literally just for this, just to see Jared and me and hang out with us and talk to Gigi on the phone. Big thank you to Gigi Gorgeous, of course. Jared, where can we find her book?
So you can go to GigiGorgeousBook.com where you can purchase her brand new book, He Said, She Said, Lesson Stories and Mistakes from My Transgender Journey. It's also on Amazon, so you can purchase it there.
Big thank you to all our sponsors for this week's episode. We wouldn't be here without you guys. Big thank you to Easton, Tori, and Mark for being the best producers in the world. Big thank you to our listeners for listening to this podcast.
Always the biggest thank you. You guys can join the Facebook group, Help I Suck at Dating Podcast, and you can also follow us on Instagram. Where, Dean?
Help I Suck at Dating. Help I Suck at Dating. Or Deanie_babies, or Jared Habon, or Vanessa Grimaldi 91.
30.
Come on. That'll
you
do it for this week's episode
day,
of Help
lie.
I Suck at Dating. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to tune in next week where maybe we'll suck a little bit less.
Follow Help I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.